right, everyone, welcome to episode 40 of the Fundamentally Sound podcast. We have officially hit the old age because 30 is not old, it is 40. As always, I know it's now a weekday. Typically, we said we'd be doing this on Sundays, but schedules have been a little hectic this month. But you get your guys, Reeks from Barstool Sports and Ben Brust. Ben, what's going on, man?
It's been a whirlwind. I tweeted about the Ball family going to Lithuania.
Did you ever think you playing in Lithuania would result in a viral tweet?
No. And and for the record, it does not make those 9 months worth it.
what if it results in you meeting LeVar or having a conversation with LeVar and or me and you getting Big Baller gear?
Then totally worth it. Okay. Because, you know, like, what's been funny is I've gotten a lot of hater, you know,
yeah,
you suck.
Yeah.
Which comes with the territory, I guess.
I mean, it's the internet. Everyone's going to be pissed off about
It's the internet.
It's impossible to have a perfect take.
I've been on record, as you know, as Ball in the Family, like,
We pleaded. Before it was cool. We pleaded. Let us promote Big Baller Brand here. That was like episode like 7.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And you know, I've been on record saying how I like Lonzo's game.
Yep.
I like what LeVar's done. I mean, my initial takes weren't exactly the greatest. Like, I was like, oh, you know, he's kind of just doing the whole, like, be loud and obnoxious thing. And then I watched the show. I saw who LeVar is, and I've really looked at how he's done this from a marketing perspective and how he's built this. And it's been pretty genius. And that's why I'm taken back by them going to Lithuania. And I think it's going to be a disaster because – he's been really smart with all the moves that he's made, and I don't think this is the best decision. And the only thing that I can think of right now is that season 3, the renewal, the Balls go to Lithuania, is going to be awesome to watch.
Here's my take with them going to Lithuania. It's a combination of a couple of things. One, it was one of their only options, right? Like, they couldn't go to China, which is where most people end up going. Like, most names you know end up going to China, right? Like, that's just kind of how it works out. Obviously, that wasn't going to be a thing for obvious reasons. Now, yeah, they weren't going to go to Spain. They weren't going to go to a lot of the Western European countries. So it just ruled out, like, a lot of places where they could go. I think while it's a risky move, it's not the worst move because it might toughen up LaMelo.
But Bobby, they're not even ready to even compete against this level of competition.
Right, but isn't that necessarily not necessarily a bad thing?
No, because LeVar's not going to be happy because their team's not going to win. And if they play, they're going to make their team worse and they're going to lose even more. And LaMelo's 16 years old and he could get hurt. Not because someone will try to hurt him, but because he's physically not able to compete at that level yet.
Yeah, it's just one, like, I see maybe the behind-the-scenes LeVar here of, no, you're going to get your ass kicked and toughen up for 2 years.
But they're not going to last. Like, they're not going to be happy with what's going on with the management, with the coach. This coach, Billy Barron, my buddy, who I went to go see in the capital city every weekend just to survive – He told this head coach that is now the head coach of the Balls. He told an assistant that he wouldn't play Billy and the Americans as much just because he simply can't communicate with them. This is how this coach is. That is how it is in Lithuania. Everything is backwards. Like this, I could go through every reason. I can't figure out any reason how this makes sense for the development of even their basketball futures. Which I think that LaMelo more than LiAngelo has a chance to be a really, really good player.
Yeah, because he's still young.
Doesn't
he's
16. He's still young and he's got talent and skill. And I am dumbfounded right now by this.
I mean, the thing is just, again, where, and we won't know for sure unless some sort of report comes out, but where else were options? Right, like that's the ultimate question with this.
Look, and this team doesn't even pay its players number one good money and number two on time or number three sometimes at all.
But it's not so like but this is the one thing that you can say here is they don't necessarily I don't think their per game salary at this moment is the need, right?
No, it's not the need, but it's then I look at it this way. I look at it this way, but like, why choose Lithuania if it's about keeping your name out there? Because it's not exactly the most relevant country in the world.
But my point is, where else were they? Like, what other options did they have? Was Lithuania their only option?
I hear you, but what I was trying to get to is, I don't think, like, you know, this makes me think that, like, there, and I've seen tweets about this, there was an opportunity for sponsorship, like €50,000 or something, yeah, to like get a patch on the jersey and to help like sponsors and everything. But then I'm like, okay, that puts LeVar in a position where he'll have some control because he's feeding the money, yep, which means his kids are going to play, which they're not going to get better because they're not going to even be able to compete. They're just going to make the team not as good and they're going to frustrate teammates. It's, oh, this is just no bueno.
It's going to be interesting because Lithuania as a country is a phenomenal basketball country.
Basketball country.
Right. Like, they have a ton of talent that's come out of there that's played college ball, that's played in the NBA, that's played for big-time European clubs. And Lithuania the Lithuanian national team is always one of, like, the five best country, like, basketball national teams in the world. That's where I think, okay, maybe they swallow some pride behind the scenes to at least develop. And I understand the whole, you know, it's going to be a huge, huge, huge curve here. But I'm hoping, because I do think that LaMelo can turn into something. I mean, LiAngelo is never going to be a player, obviously. But, you know, I'm hoping, because I don't cheer for kids to fail.
And I've said that too with you, and I will root for them, and I hope the best for them. But this is why I said what I said. Right. It doesn't make sense. Because, you know, now they're in a situation where this is kind of forced upon them. They, you know, they can't escape it now. They're going to be going over there. And I don't wish them, you know, bad. I want, you know, two kids who are just trying to find their way to have success. This move just didn't make sense to me,
yeah,
at all.
I thought that maybe the Philippines were an option. But I don't know what options they had. This might, like I said, this might have been their only one. And if it is, you take it, obviously, and then just try to hope for the best. It's gonna be fun to watch. Like, you know, can I go on a tangent here? Our guy Vicini kind of had it too on Twitter, and I want to say it was last week, and everyone on their high horse about, oh, good, now we don't have to cover them. They're out of college basketball. We can finally talk about basketball. It's like, okay, this guy literally, if you wrote about him, you earned a paycheck off of him. Because you got page views, and that's what
I got
matters.
PR,
and that's what matters in this game. In this game of,
yeah,
of
I literally tweeted something, and now I'm going on ESPN Radio National, potentially Fox Sports One first. You know, first things first show. Like this is because of what they've built.
Right.
It's so, like they are actually like, and they're fun news too.
Yeah, and like, you know, like, I can understand the frustration.
LeVar gets a bad rap for some things that he does, and I'm sure he knows he brings some of that upon himself, but it's genius. Creates awareness, brand awareness, and creates some fans out of it, and then you watch the show and you learn a little more, and then you get hooked on it, and then you're part of BBB, and then you're rooting for Lonzo and you want to see him succeed, and then you're a Lakers fan, which is a win for the Lakers, and then you're, you know, following LiAngelo and LaMelo. I mean, this is real news, and it's what, you know, I mean, part of it is crazy that Lonzo got drafted to the Lakers. I mean, you can't script some of this stuff, and then some of it maybe is. It's just, it's a perfect storm.
Yeah, and I just hate the people on their high horse, like, oh, you know, you won't have to talk about him anymore or anything like that. It's like, well, no, you kind of had to tell the story of college basketball last year with him. Not that he was part of it, but his son was one of the five best players in the game last year. One of the 10 best players in the game last year, whatever you thought of him. He was one of the 10 best players in college basketball last year, and you had this to go along with it. So, I just want to say, if you're on your high horse about not having to write about him anymore or anything like that, then, like, it's just dumb. Because, again, you write about, as much as people don't like to admit it, you write about what brings in money on page views and advertisements and things like that, and writing about the balls brought in page views. Like, that's just it's a universal acceptance. So it's not like it's writers
that's
all
a
sat
fact,
around.
Jack.
Right, and it's not like writers all sat around and said, hey, we're all going to write about him. It's because people sat there and read about him nonstop, right? So that's going to be an interesting one. Speaking of moves, I think we have a little personal announcement to make regarding a selection committee.
Ah, we are due to talk about that for sure.
So I tweeted it out, and I think you'd retweeted the original tweet.
Retweeted the account, the 3-on-3,
yes,
like, main account.
So I wrote this blog back in August about the Final Four is going to host not the Final Four. At the Final Four, there is going to be a 3-on-3 competition for college basketball seniors who have exhausted NCAA eligibility to win $100,000. And it's going to be teams of four by conference. So the ACC will have every conference will be represented. It's not just the Big Six and then mid-majors. It is every single conference. And it's made up of four. And there is, I think, 20 of us on the committee. Or 19, I forget, one of the two, 19 or 20.
Don't know the number, but it's a pretty stellar crew, if I may say so myself.
It is. It is headed by Andy Katz, and we are joined by the likes of, not only your two boys are on this, as we were selected to select these players, but on the list was our guy, Rob Doster, Mike DeCourcy, Matt Santangelo of Gonzaga fame. We have Adam Zagoria, Myron Medcalf, Jeff Goodman, Rosti, Norlander, Dan O'Neill, Josh Newman, Nicole Auerbach, Chris Dortch, Joe
Ben Bruss, Bobby Regan.
Yeah, Joe Lenardi. And I think two guys that we need to really start a podcast feud with and challenge them to a 2-on-2 game. And that's the Ringer / One Shining Pod guys, Mark Titus and Tate Frazier. Because tell me a former Big Ten guard versus high school has been 2-on-2 game would not be perfect.
I would love it. That would be good content to video that and get it out there. Where are they?
They're in LA, I believe. Yeah, they're in L.A. They're in L.A.
That ain't happening until I meet LeVar.
Yeah, so I'm pumped about this, man. Like, this obviously has been something that's we've been working on kind of behind the scenes for about a month and a half.
Quite a while.
Now. Yeah, about a month and a half before the season.
And there may be some opportunity for us to do some stuff.
Yep.
At the event, content-wise. Still maybe working
event,
on some stuff there.
It's going to be... There's going to be a bunch of stuff.
It will be at the Final Four, FYI, yes, if anyone missed that as well, which will be cool.
Yeah.
We're in San Antonio, correct?
It is in San Antonio. If you want, you should go follow. Let me pull up the exact Twitter handle of the 3-on-3. And you need to follow the Twitter handle because it is releasing all the preseason watch team, so to speak, that we voted on. So it's going to say kind of who's out there and who has the early votes. Now, obviously, we should preface it that if you are playing in the Final Four, then you are not eligible for this. So you'll see teams obviously kind of fall out as the tournament goes on. But you need to go follow the show, not the show. You need to go follow the
3-on-3 account.
3-on-3 account at the number 3 X, the number 3 U Hoops. That's on Twitter, and they are, like I said, tweeting out all the preseason teams, and you can see they're interacting with all the committee members on there. So go follow that. I'm really looking forward to it. I think we should also make it known that we are willing to be bribed for selections. Like, I have zero shame in that.
I will not.
Oh, please. You would be bribed in a heartbeat, too.
Well, it depends on what the bribe
right,
is.
right. We are for sale is essentially what I'm saying. But no, it's a really cool thing to be a part of.
Lots of housekeeping to do. I just want to make sure we don't miss it.
Yeah.
Queen City Exchange.
Yeah, I was going to get into that. Obviously, this is being recorded on a Tuesday. I am looking at Ben via computer right now. This Saturday, not only will I be looking at Ben in person, but you can too.
And I haven't even met you. How bizarre is that?
We talk so much that.
I know. Like, it won't be like weird. Right, it'll just but it's still going to be kind of weird.
Right. Like, you're meeting like my friends and my wife. So it's a big first date.
This is like, can I handle this? any like weird ex-girlfriends going to show up or right. Like
an old podcast host comes out and starts screaming.
Yeah. What am I getting myself into? I guess there's no turning back. I'll find out Saturday.
So we've talked about it for a while, and it is going on, and this is Queen City Exchange in downtown Cincinnati. So if you live in the greater Cincinnati area, you have zero reason not to come. 12 to 2, Ben and I will be on it's not really a stage, but you know, we'll be there doing a live show. And they will – Queen City Exchange has a couple deals going on. First off, they have a Dark Horse Brewery takeover. So there's going to be like 41 different Dark Horse Brewery beers on tap. They are going to do domestic bottles for $2 from 12 to 2.
Oh, that's amazing.
And then it's good. Then it goes to $4 after that. They do have some canned beer options for $3.
Someone's got to drink 10 beers during our show. That's 10 beers for $20. That's amazing.
Buckets, and they're 16 ounces. Buckets are $16. And the 41 taps will still be linked to the – what makes Queen City Exchange cool is it's a stock market bar. So if Ben and I are all drinking one beer, that price goes up while its competitor essentially or an equivalent beer goes down. So that will be still going on, and the prices can dip as low as $3.50 for a beer. So it's very reasonable pricing. If you're under 21, you are allowed at the bar and at the show until 9:00 p.m. Obviously, you can't drink, but you can come watch the show. Our good friend Chad Brendel of Bearcat Journal has organized a Cincinnati watch party because there are a bunch of TVs and Cincinnati plays at UCLA that day. So they will be watching the show and then watching the game there. Xavier has a home game. Come pregame, come postgame, we'll be hanging out there. Xavier game will probably be on TV, I'm sure, as well. Kentucky plays Virginia Tech. They will be on TV because, again, there's a million TVs. There will be Papa Shot. There might be contests. It is going to be an awesome, awesome time. And you'll have both Ben and I in person doing about a two-hour show. We might have a guest or two come up. But again, we'll be talking all games because it's a pretty good slate of games that Saturday. We'll be talking all things that. We'll probably do some fan questions, get a little bit of everything. So, and then we'll be hanging out all day. So, you know, watching the game so you can watch the games with us. But again, 12 to 2, that's when all the drink specials are. That's when we'll be on. Queen City Exchange, downtown Cincinnati. If you are coming, tweet us on Twitter. Send us a tweet and let us know so we know to look for you and everything like that. I'm looking forward to it, man. I think it's going to be an awesome time.
Yeah, no, nice job promoting it. You had a lot more info than I was going to give. So I'm looking forward to it. I've never been to Cincinnati. I've been in contact with these guys. I know you've done a little bit with them that I haven't been able to get connected on. So glad we're able to make it happen. Yeah, let us know if you're coming. I want to know. Who's coming? Should be fun. I will be staying overnight, so I plan on not remembering a lot. Yeah. Towards the latter half of the night, I plan on betting a lot too, which will also make it fun.
Yeah.
So here goes nothing, I guess.
I think we're gonna have to put in like team bets, right? Like we want to be cheering for the same thing while we watch the games. So there's gonna be some communication. And maybe the whole bar will just be putting in bets to, like, hopefully a bunch of degenerates. So we'll see what happens there. Let's talk hoops, huh?
Yeah, let's talk some hoops.
So, all right. So, quick break back. We had a little disruption here with our Skype. So, back to college basketball. Now that we got our we talked about basketball. We had some good housekeeping we had to get out of the way.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was very necessary. Yeah. And we did talk a little basketball, but now we'll get into the meat and potatoes.
So it's a slow week. It's finals week. The games during the weekdays just they're not good.
they haven't been good.
Well, like, they have been good, but this week is just not good, right? Because it's finals week and everything like that. So, and you got a little unlucky. Like, Texas Michigan's tonight, and Texas has no Andrew Jones. Like, he's out with a broken hand. Michigan has been down a little bit this year, so it's not like that could have been like the saving grace. Like, oh, Texas Michigan, like, that's not a bad game, and it's still not a terrible game, but you're like, I want a little bit more, right? So we're not going to talk about games as much now, but we are unofficially, one third of the way through the season.
Yeah, we can do a little reset.
Yeah, teams have played between, 9 to 11 games, so we're, all intents and purposes, a third of the way through the season. I blogged about it yesterday and today. I did a buying and selling blog and a superlatives blog, and that's kind of what we're going to focus on today, just in terms of resetting from like an argumentative standpoint, because it's always fun to draw a conversation. I'm going to ask you this right now, and we're recording on December 12th at 8:40 Eastern Time. Who is the best team in the country on December 12th?
Who is the best team right now?
Yes.
Man. I mean, like, you could make arguments for Arizona State based off who they've beaten, but I've probably been most impressed with Villanova to this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's – they're I have family that went to Villanova, and I joke around that I'm more invested in Villanova this year than I am Kentucky, because I picked Villanova in the preseason for everything, right? Like, everyone else was kind of picking elsewhere, and I was like, I'm staking my claim here at Nova. So I'm like fully invested in this team. I love this team, man. Like, this is the most talented that roster has been since the days of Kyle Lowry, Mike Nardi, Alan Ray, and Randy Foy. And that's crazy to think.
Yeah, I mean, well, look, Jalen Brunson and Mikal Bridges, they're both combining to shoot over 50% from the field and over 50% from three.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's like a really small sample size. It's a decent size. Where obviously I think it's going to, regress a little bit to like the mid-40s, as it probably will. But it's still really impressive to this point to be at that level. And Mikal Bridges, arguably the most improved player in all of college basketball, to a level of potential first-team All-Big Ten player, probably first-team All-Big Ten player. Or Big 12 or Big East, whatever the hell it is.
The third big. And I like that they can get versatile with their lineup, right? Like, we've seen them play, quote, big, where they ran Spellman, Pascal, and Crosby Roundtree out there together. Like, that's we've seen that once at a Villanova the last like decade where they did that. They obviously can go small with their four guard lineup and one of the bigs. So, and they have a top five coach, on the sideline. They have a top five player, and I think the best point guard in the country. They have a top 10-ish wing in Mikal Bridges. They have, essentially six starters the way they play Dante DiVincenzo. Like, he's Manu Ginobili of college basketball right now.
Yeah, I think they've got past that narrative naturally because of what happened with that, team who won the final, the national championship, which there was a stigma. Oh, Nova's going to be number one and lose early on. But now, like, there's a belief in that system and in the coaching staff and within the players that you can feel when you're watching them play. So I think that bodes well for them going forward, and with the talent that they have, and the, they have different size players who can do different things. They can go big, they can go small. I'm interested to see them play Xavier. I think that's just going to be a fun matchup.
I'm going to
mostly
that one
because
when it's here.
You're going to that one when it's in Cincy. Yeah, that will be an awesome game.
And then the day after that, I'm going to see Wichita State at Cincinnati. It's a Saturday, Sunday in Cincinnati in February.
You know, I still haven't seen Wichita State play yet, if I'm being honest. So I'll be on the lookout for them. Do they have everyone back yet? How many people?
No, Marcus McDuffie is still out.
McDuffie's still out. So they're only going to get better when they get him back as well. So, yeah, I mean, just looking at the overall landscape, I'd still say Villanova. Arizona State has the best resume today, but with the opportunity.
And I don't think it's
close. You don't think it's close?
That Arizona
State
has the best resume, right?
They beat They beat the crap out of Xavier
at a neutral
state.
Yeah. They beat Kansas State on a neutral court. They beat St. John's on a neutral court.
And St. John's is decent this year.
People can sit there and scream that St. John's didn't have Marcus Levet, but they're still pretty good. Still a neutral court win. Then they turn around, and what I think might have been the best win of the year is to turn around from a Friday game in Los Angeles to turn around to a Sunday afternoon in Lawrence, Kansas, and win at Fog Allen. Like that, I think that's the best win of the year.
Well, 100%.
When you look at it as a whole.
Yeah, even with the back-to-back losses.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, Arizona State, going back to their resume, they don't have the loss. They even beat San Diego State, and I know San Diego State lost to Cal, but San Diego State's still a top 70 team on KenPom. So they have five quality wins with zero losses. That's
At what point is it not good enough to quote like a top whatever team as a good win?
I mean, I think it's worth looking at, like, okay, how many top 50 wins do you have? How many top 75 wins do you have? How many top 100 wins do you have? Because of the way the committee's now this year looking at, like, the new team sheets that they get of, okay, it's I know it's not we're not looking at RPI, we're looking at KenPom, but, you know, you get sheets of, okay, these, and it's separated on whether it was home, neutral, or road, and where they fall. So I think it's worth still mentioning things like that. Like, I like looking at, okay, how many top 100 wins do you have? How many top road 100 wins do you have? How many neutral court, you know, top 100 wins do you have? I think that's a fair number to look at. And then, you know, you can draw down from there. But, I mean, does anyone else come to mind in terms of resumes that can kind of go with Arizona State?
Not resumes, but I do want to touch on the other two teams because I still think it's a clear top four, right now at least. I still look at Duke. They have so much talent.
Yeah,
one through five,
and they
the depth
lose,
is lacking.
They lose an early road game in the ACC every single year.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, to me, it's no big deal because this is going to happen to every team throughout the season. It pretty much has to everyone except Nova and Arizona State,
right,
which it will happen to them too, FYI. So I don't, like, look at it and be like, oh, well, Duke's not the top three team. No, they still are. Just a bad loss, in which every team's going to go through a bad loss. Their talent from Duvall to senior lead guard Allen, you know, to obviously Bagley – Gary Trent, and I'm blanking on my
Wendell
big fella's
Carter.
Name. Wendell Carter, who I was really impressed with, even when he didn't play his greatest against Indiana.
He still had a double double that game. Like,
no, I know. Like, he has a size and a presence
and
that
talent.
You look
like,
at and you can't teach it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, if Bagley's still not on that team, I still think they're, you know, because of him, a top
six team in the country, top 17.
Yeah,
in the country.
top 10 team for sure.
What and then
I also do want to touch on Michigan State,
who does have a resume that is really good, but they do have the loss obviously to Duke. They have the wins over North Carolina and Notre Dame, so two, you know, high quality wins there. have looked.
What I'm going to get at is, I like their roster. I like the makeup of the team. I've been really impressed with Josh Langford. One of my questions was, who was that guard who's going to step up? He was okay last year, but he's been really good so far to start the year. So that's an encouraging sign as well for that team moving forward, because they obviously have the size and the depth.
It's almost like they have a little too much depth, though, right?
No, they do.
It's tough to find – not tough to find a rotation, but it's – you know, it's a good problem to have.
Ben Carter, Gavin Schilling, right. And then Xavier Tillman.
And then even, like, you know, in the backcourt, it's not – you know, you have McQuaid. You have Nairn. You have Winston. You have Langford. And then you have, obviously, Bridges, which is – yeah, you know, that hybrid type guy, and you have Jaren Jackson. So, I mean, that's a deep ass roster. I still worry, and I'm not disagreeing at all. Like, I have them number two in the country. I think they are easily a top four team in the country.
Do they lose a game to any of these Big Ten teams?
So it's funny you say that. I literally had this conversation with my cousin this morning. We were talking about the Big Ten, and it's like Michigan State's probably going to lose two games, but it would not shock me if they go undefeated, because they play Purdue once and they play Minnesota once. And they have Purdue in East Lansing, and they go to Minnesota. So the closest game on KenPom is a 4-point game at Maryland.
Yeah.
But they're obviously still, you know, they're favored to win every game. They're projected to lose a couple games.
And you brought up a team that, you know, I want to talk about, which is Minnesota.
Yeah, but Michigan State, like, I still worry a little bit about their turnovers.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So, like,
you know, they'll get away with it in the Big Ten, because every team in the Big Ten turns it over just as much when they're up.
here's a quick question.
And lets teams back in the game.
The four teams that we just mentioned. We just touched on Michigan State's weakness being turnovers. What are the weaknesses for the other three teams?
Like,
what would you say weakness for Duke is? I think there's a clear weakness for Duke.
Depth.
Depth and outside shooting. Right? Like Trayvon Duval just...
At least they have a shot maker in Grayson Allen as well.
Right, but it's one of those, like, I worry when you have a point guard that's just such a bad shooter like Duval is.
Arizona State, size...
They get wing depth. Like, Mickey Mitchell started playing this last game, and they add another guy at the end of the month. So they get a little bit depth on the wing. Size, yes, I think that's a little bit of a concern. I think they have a little Florida to them where they rely on shooting so much.
Where they, if they get cold. But, like, they play with such good rhythm, like, they'll be able to get by with it.
And they're the best team in the country getting to the free throw line. So, that saves them. What is the weakness for Villanova, who I think has the least amount of weaknesses out of them all?
So they have experience at the guard position
and at the wing spot.
Maybe the experience on the front line, if I had to pick anything.
Spellman's been
pretty impressive.
Yeah, yeah. But even then, Pascal's a junior, redshirt junior.
Like, man. I don't know. There's no clear... Like, that's something that stands out to me.
Right. I still worry a little bit about...
It's not coaching?
No. I still worry for them when they play the kind of like the super athletic wings. Right? Like, a guy like Jonathan Williams is someone like from Gonzaga who got in foul trouble.
But I think Bridges can match up.
Right, but that's just one. Like, with a team that has two wings that are athletic, that can play both offense and defense. Like, that's where I kind of worry. Like, can Mikhail Bridges score against an athletic wing?
No, it's a completely fair point.
I think Villanova's the best team in the country now is the fact that they have the least amount of weaknesses out of that group. Before we get to Minnesota, who's the fifth best team in the country?
Because
there's a clear top four. Who do you have at five?
I mean, I don't even want to go on, like, what the AP poll has. I like to go with,
The AP poll is the second most important poll behind every Monday on Barstool Sports at 5 o'clock. You can see the Barstool Reigs top 25. because both polls are irrelevant. They both mean nothing, but I think mine means nothing plus just a hair more.
Well, when does that come out? Did you bring
it? I do it every Monday. I do it every Monday.
Who'd you have at 5 this Monday?
Xavier.
Man, I was going to say them, but I kind of want to be different than you.
They have go ahead and say who you want, or do you want me to say why I have Xavier at 5?
I'm going to go with Miami.
I debated Miami. I really debated Miami. The only reason I put Xavier over Miami is, one, Xavier has a better resume. Like, they have the win over Cincinnati. They have the win over Colorado, which they might be an average team. We don't know yet. They have the win over Baylor. They have the win at Wisconsin. Again, we'll talk about Wisconsin here in a little bit, but it's still a road win against in a tough environment against a Power Six team. And to me, like, they still have the best player on the floor if the two teams play. As much as I love Bruce Brown and Lonnie Walker, Trayvon Blewett's the best player on the floor if those two teams play. I like how Xavier. I like that Xavier can get versatile with their lineup. Like, to me, and me and you talk about this all the time, versatility in a lineup is so important to me, especially at the college level, to where you can play small, you can play big, and you have a guy that's stretch position who can play the 3 or 4, and they have that with Trayvon Blewett, who just happens to be their best player.
And that's why Villanova's and that's what all these teams can really
typically have in common, right? Like,
of all the teams we've talked about.
Marvin Bagley can step out. He's not a great shooter, but he can shoot. And
he's capable.
Right.
Yeah, he can be out there and extend out there defensively and offensively. And if you look at teams that, you know, that struggle, are teams that when I say struggle, I mean like can't compete against those teams, are teams that are one-dimensional. Teams that, if it's not going their way offensively, say they're – maybe this is fair, even though Purdue has a big – like, when Purdue's shots aren't falling, like, what is their MO other than touching Haas?
Right. No, it's fair. I like the Miami pick. I had Miami 7 at this week. So
would you have 6, Kentucky or A&M?
Texas A&M. Like, I'm not going to penalize them that much for the loss at Arizona. Well – in Phoenix against Arizona when they have wins, you know, they beat the shit out of
the neutral site game.
Virginia, yeah. I think A&M, you talk about depth and versatility, they can beat you from so many different positions, right? Like, they don't need to rely on Bob Williams to get a bucket. They don't need to rely on Tyler Davis. Like, TJ Ho can go score. Edmond Gilder can score. Dwayne Wilson can score. I like that. Rounding out my top 10, I had Kentucky 8, Wichita State 9, Seton Hall 10. Do you disagree vehemently with any of those?
Not to my mind. Maybe Wichita State a little bit, how high they are, but I could also make an argument for them to be in there as well.
Sure.
TCU's been pretty impressive.
I had them at 11.
I keep picking teams that are right on the fringe of – you've thought about them but left them out.
Yeah, TCU is really good. They're really good, and they're very well coached.
Florida kind of fell from the graces, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you rely on outside shooting. Like, it's why I think – and I said it today in my blog – they are the team with the highest ceiling and the lowest floor because we've seen them at their best. The Duke game – the Gonzaga game.
The first half of the Duke game was unreal.
The first 35 minutes of their game against Duke.
They look like
the top
nation's
three
best
team
in the
country, right?
Yeah.
So we've seen them like at their peak. They are a Final Four national title type team. And then we've seen them at their ceiling, losing at home to Florida State, who's not a bad team, but Loyola Chicago, who's a good mid-major, decent mid-major, but no way should Florida lose to them without their best player at home. So I worry in the long run. And we saw in their game against Cincinnati on Saturday, there was a conscious effort for them to attack the rim and not settle for quick jumpers, which, again, pros and cons. This team's kind of made to play quick and get shots up, but what happens when the shots aren't falling? And I think it was encouraging to see them winning that game against Cincinnati in the 60s.
Hang on one sec. Shouts to Florida State. Florida State. Didn't we both have them like at the tippity bottom?
We had them low, like 9th or 10th in the – I think I had them like 10th or 11th in the ACC.
I mean, they're undefeated, and they beat Florida, didn't they?
Yeah, went at Florida last Monday.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yep.
Losing as much as they did to be this competitive early.
Yeah, I think they'll regress a little bit, but I think that they're still –
Yeah, naturally, naturally.
Still a really, really
still impressive start. I want to ask you about Purdue. I have to, just because them and Wisconsin are the only two teams in the country to play at least five top 60 KenPom teams. Purdue's played six. Wisconsin's played eight, which is crazy that they played eight. Purdue has not looked amazing, but like they've gotten the job done. They beat two like upper tier Big Ten teams in Michigan and Northwestern.
They beat Maryland.
Yeah, Maryland. Yeah. Sorry. I think they have them coming up, and that's why I said them. They also, you know, have taken care of business. They beat Arizona, which is going to end up being a really good win. They beat the crap out of them, too.
Yeah, that's going to end – that's one of those where they caught Arizona at the perfect time, and it's going to pay off for them in the long run.
On their resume, neutral site win.
Yep.
Against a team that will end up top 15, top 10 in the country.
Before they had Raleigh Hawkins, who could really shut down one of the Purdue, you know, you throw him on any of the Purdue perimeter guys.
AP poll has him 17. Where does Reeves have him?
I had him 24.
Ooh, they cracked the top 25.
Mostly because so many teams just –
invited them up the ladder.
Yeah, right. And I'm kind of mad I did it because I respected their win over Arizona enough to put them at 24 and Arizona at 25. If I'm doing my rankings correctly, Arizona should be better. I think Arizona is a better team than Purdue despite that one game. Especially now that Raleigh Hawkins is back. And I think the adjustments that were made, I think that's just – and all credit to Purdue for literally kicking Arizona's ass. But that was perfect, perfect timing for Purdue to play Arizona.
And you know what I'm going to love? I tweeted at Rob, who likes to troll you about Purdue as well. I'm going to love it when they somehow end up winning the Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean, again, they both – them and Michigan State only play once, so that is a pro for –
And it's in West Lafayette.
No, it's in East.
No, it's at East Lansing.
Yeah. No, Rob. Yeah, he definitely does. But I have some stuff up my sleeve for Rob. I found a tweet where he told me to get rid of a certain Alabama guard who I had number 7 preseason in my big board, and he said that was too high.
Who on Sexton?
Yeah.
I don't know how you could ever say he was too high. He brings too much to the table.
Yeah. So, Doster, watch your back.
I'm coming. Yeah. I do love his banter on Twitter. He's a good follow.
He's a good guy.
He's still salty at you for not inviting him in the fantasy. But I forgot my password on that. I hope my guys haven't got hurt. I haven't even been able to look.
I did make it up for Rob. If you like Rob Doster, he's been on the podcast with me here before. Every Thursday, I am joining him on his podcast, NBC Sports College Basketball Talk, where we preview kind of the gambling lines for the weekend's big game. So you can listen to that every Friday morning. So shout out Rob, who's a good guy and a good follow and one of the guys I trust the most in this game. But yeah, Purdue.
In the nature of time, we're not we don't have to stop now. Obviously, anything we want to make sure we touch on. I don't know if you had anything written down.
No, we're just winging it. winging it.
All right, we're winging it.
Purdue, I think they're like again. I've said this from the get-go. I felt like they've always been a top 40 team. That if they made the Sweet 16, I would never be shocked. Because of matchups, right? Like, I think that you're going to see the Big Ten be similar to what we've seen before with them, where last year, where they're going to have a one seed, a like five seed or four seed, and then it's going to be like 8, 8, 10, 11.
I'm in between a sneeze, so keep talking.
So, like, the seeding's just going to be crazy. Like, they're going to get six or seven teams in, but there's going to be two seeds worth anything. And it's probably going to be Purdue is like a 4 or 5 seed, and Michigan State is a 1 or 2 seed.
Yep, Minnesota is a 5 seed last year, and Wisconsin is the 8 seed as the second best team in Big Ten. You could end up seeing something like that because of, you know, whoever may finish second or third may not have the same type of resume as other teams who have a better resume and finish fourth or fifth in their conference.
Right. So, we got to do it. Wisconsin.
What do we got?
Wisconsin.
Oh, we got to touch on Wisconsin?
Got to talk about Wisconsin.
Like I said, 8 teams in the top KenPom top 60, the most of any school in the NCAA.
Credit for them for the schedule.
Worth noting, they've had a really, really rough schedule here. In their last 20 days, they've played 9 games and had 11 practices.
Yeah, and
that's worth noting.
It is worth noting. And it's also worth noting they're not the only team to do that, but it is worth noting that they are one of the few teams to have that.
Yep. Look, what comes to my mind is it puts it into my mind in perspective that the finishing top 4 in the Big Ten for the last 17 years, that streak could be gone. Going to the NCAA tournament the last 20 years, that streak could be gone. Does it mean it's over?
No. But it's in question.
But they got to really knock some games off. And how are you supposed to have – you know, a lot of faith after what just happened against Marquette and the injuries and just everything. And it's not that I think the program's in danger. Kobe King gets to be a redshirt freshman next year.
He should qualify for redshirt.
No, he does. He does.
Okay. I thought he would.
Ethan Happ will be back. Brad Davison, I continue to be impressed at his will to just lead the team as a freshman and play his balls off.
Yeah,
I love
it. He's been an annoying-ass Wisconsin guard for 4 years.
100%. Nate Reavers, I think, is actually going to turn into a good player. Everything else, I don't know what the answer is.
My concern for this team isn't necessarily experience. It's the fact that nobody stepped up to be consistent second. And I'm not talking about the freshmen, because Davison's kind of stepped up to be that second guy, but where's Brevin Pritzel? Where was Demetric Trice before he got hurt? Where was Khalil Iverson?
Really right. Inconsistent. Like, right. has a game where he goes for 14 on 5 of 7 from the field, and then next game it's, you know, 0 or 2 points and 3 turnovers. You can't have that out of your junior in Wisconsin system. Your junior has to be a consistent producer each game. And something, you know, what you can rely upon.
And I'm worried about like Brevin Pritzel. Like, his stats not close to where they should be for a guy that's been in the system. And you can say, like, yeah, he didn't play a ton of minutes. He played like 8 minutes last year per game. But again,
he is a redshirt sophomore. Right. Yeah, he's been there for 3 years. Right. I mean, he did have a foot injury that basically was not even a year for him. That did hurt. But you know what it is for him. It's not that he doesn't have any ability. He has the ability. He's just got to figure it out between the pipes, I think.
Right. So I my concern, and I hope, you know, I hope throughout the course of the year, somebody besides Davison becomes a consistent, you know, second or third option, whether you consider Davison the second option. That's what
I
think.
Did not know Michigan and Texas played today, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the game tonight.
Intriguing matchup.
It is, but I wish Texas was at full health. They don't have Andrew Jones.
So it's still a chance for the Big Ten to get a decent win.
It is. On the road, that would be a nice win, because the Big Ten's lacking wins, as we've talked about quite a bit. Other teams kind of...
I don't know. I think we talked to VCU. We talked Villanova. We talked State. We talked Duke. Arizona State's resume.
Miami. North Carolina has been pretty impressive considering all they've lost. Shout out to Luke May for bringing me joy every time I watch. UK, I'm still questionable about their ability to score from the outside. Yep. A&M, I've been impressed with. Xavier, we talked about. West Virginia, Javon Carter, he's one of the better college basketball players, upperclassmen in the nation.
Is there a team flying under the radar that you're interested in?
Flying under the radar outside the top 25?
Or like top outside the top 20, you know, a team that's not really mentioned as
Arkansas.
It should be. Your Arkansas's one? That's not a bad one.
Yeah, I mean, they beat the crap out of Minnesota. I think they have some other wins, if I'm not mistaken.
They beat the team that I was going to say for my answer. Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma has a couple wins now.
Creighton, is it Marcus Foster?
Marcus Foster and Kyrie Thomas.
Yeah, like they can put points up in a hurry in that system. Those are some teams to definitely keep an eye on. A lot of the mid-pack SEC teams. I'm interested to see how this conference play shakes out for the SEC.
Yeah, I think you see. My guess is, you know, Tennessee has been a great start. I think they regress a little bit. I think Mississippi State undefeated up until tonight. They're playing Cincinnati. They haven't played anybody now, though. So they're going to regress a little bit. I think you end up seeing, obviously, Kentucky, Florida, A&M, Arkansas. Those four teams, I think, are your – and Alabama are your top five, right? So you have those five. And then it's a kind of like, okay, what else is out there? Like you mentioned, like can Mississippi State and Tennessee stay hot during conference play? Can LSU, who's now like the lowest ranked KenPom team, turn into something? So Missouri, there's another good one. I agree. Anything else going on that you want to talk about?
Nope. I'm going to sit back, relax, and enjoy my night at home watching some basketball.
Yeah. Again, if you're coming to Queen City Exchange, let us know on Twitter. Follow the show at FundamentallySD on Twitter and Instagram. Shout out Matt for all the social work and getting clips out there. Shout out Tommy for editing the podcast. Queen City Exchange, again, let us know on Twitter. You can tweet at either of us or the show and let us know if you're coming.